Accession number 10179, Rule 3.
As I related to yet a mine, I wasn't in Aberdeen at the time, but on returning to my own boat, 2003, I was informed that 2002 was overdue, and they were very concerned about her. She hadn't reached their destination, and there'd been nothing heard about her. The boats that were left in Aberdeen at that precise time went out in search round about the Christian Sands and that area, including aircraft. At the results was that later on a signal locker, which was identified immediately, which was painted with what we call the Plymouth pink, and identical to the one aboard 2003, we picked up and realised that obviously something drastically had happened to the boat. It was later on that I would say weeks later on that we found out through communications that there'd been two survivors picked up near Christian Sands. The survivors we now know was Petty Officer Motor Mechanic Tommy Sheen and an ex-member of my crew, Able Seaman Iron. We were told that they had been severely wounded, and that later on we got the details from what I know and from what I gather from my own personal friend Norman Iron and Tommy Sheens, who I see regular, and got the full information from them. It would appear that Tommy Sheens was coming off watch at the precise time when they hit the mine, which he was coming up from the engine room, which obviously was aft the boat, and Irons was in that proximity. I believe the explosion was so great that one didn't know what was happening. The fore part of the boat immediately vanished, and that was where the officers were and the crew and everybody, best part of the crew. Hines, unbelievable, a miracle if you like, had been a survivor twice and was never able to swim, but he managed to get all of what we call a boat chock, which is quite a reasonable thing, hang on to that, and believe it or not, a sailor's hammock which he hung on to. It was during the early hours that he heard shouts and realised, oh, Sheen had already pushed him off the boat and gone in himself. It was later on that Sheen heard the shouts and realised it was Hyan and picked him up in a Carly float. And also, they picked up a chap by the name of Stoker Bristow, who, of course, I actually knew was rather a big fella. In fact, he was a London brewer's drayman. You can imagine what they like, if rather a very large chap. But they managed to get on the Carly raft, and they seen one or two other things which I don't wish to relate at the present moment, but I'm certain later on you'll get the first-hand information. I have writings about it here, which was taken up by Cecil Amsher, who wrote the book Secret Navies. But going back to Sheen and Hine, who I see regular and I've been in their company, things really got bad with Bristow, who his hallucinations and imaginations had gone far beyond redemption. He drank a lot of salt water, and eventually he became very aggressive for one thing or another. Eventually they could do nothing themselves. The state they were in was absolutely unbelievable. It got to the state where they were more or less biting each other. Their imaginations were going wild, that they thought they could see, I'm told, they thought they could see a rope going from the raft to what might have been a haven underneath or a shed, and things were really getting out of hand. Eventually, Bristow slipped over the side and they were never able to recover him, although they tried in vain to keep him aboard the Carly float. The fact that he drank salt water had sent him absolutely mad. They were both picked up, I'm told, of Christians picked up off the List Lighthouse by a freighter who spotted them and taken to an hospital in Norway. I think that was Kristiansand, somewhere there. Both having eventually lost their... Norman lost his toes. Gangrene happens to set in. And Sheehan... Tom Sheehan, obviously, well, he was in a bad way. He'd lost... his gangrene had set in from the toes right up to below the knee. Both, I'm told, from both of them, the stench from both of them was absolutely unbelievable, in as much as that when they were in the hospital, they had to burn these candles of incense to try and take the smell away from the ward where they were in. Eventually, both were flown by Dakota to somewhere in Lincoln, and Norman had his toes completely taken off, and Tom Sheehan, his legs were amputated just below the knees. But notwithstanding that they were out of action for a very, very long time, Norman, who had been an active lad in his time, was now, what, 2 years or more, suffering with weeping, weeping parts of where his toes were, weeping all the time and throwing a discharge out. And of course Tommy had lots of problems until he was able to become rehabilitated with artificial legs, and Norman was able to continue with his job in Civvy Street, and I have the pleasure of seeing them both regular. Norman later on didn't come to an went to an investiture at the palace. Unfortunately, when I say an investiture at the palace, he couldn't attend, and his investiture was, well, his medal and everything else was sent to him by the late King George V. Tom Sheehan, of course, although we see great a lot of him, a very, very shy man, and doesn't like to talk about things that happen to him. We're still great pals, and we still see each other and reminisce over the times we've had in both the 17th Flotilla and the time spent in Aberdeen.